Free is our favorite word. Like free refills. At Morgan & Morgan, our fee is free. You don't pay anything unless we win your case. Injured? Call Morgan & Morgan. ForThePeople.com.
It's free!
Hot round! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run down the field and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch! Nom, 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 nom.
Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get me the ball.
That's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
Welcome into 11 Personnel. Nick Roush here with Adam Luckett to get you ready for the Cats and the Miami Redhawks kicking off Saturday night at Kroger Field, 7 p.m. on ESPN Plus and SEC Network Plus. If you don't want to deal with the streaming, Luckett, just go to the Kroger. It looks like weather's going to be pretty nice. Might deal with a little.
There's a scattered storm kind of hovering around, so we'll see what happens with that.
Which just means it's going to stay cool. It's going to stay cool.
If you believe in rain dances, go out and do your little dance, make sure it's not there. Or just blame your local weatherman.
I prefer the latter. Also, isn't rain dancing to get the rain to show up?
I mean, who's to say, Nick? People do their thing, and who am I to judge?
We are judgment-free podcast unless we're talking about Scott Frost, Eli Drinkwitz, or Shane Beamer. Then we will judge the hell out of you and condemn you for being a horrible football coach. But like I said, we're not here to talk about those losers. We're here to talk about the Cats and the Redhawks. It feels like this has been a long time coming, but showing up to the Kentucky football practice facility the last few days has really got the juices flowing. We were there Monday for Mark Stoops' press conference. I was there Tuesday night, and just talking to the guys, the sense of urgency is there. You know, fall camp, it's a long drag, not just for us in talking season, but also for them. You know, that they want to get the show on the road. There's an excitement in the air, and I just can't wait to see some Kentucky football.
Yeah, I think you get this almost every fall camp. You're just ready. They're just chomping at the bit to go play a real football game. And we're all chomping at the bit to go watch a real football game and everything that comes with that, right? So a lot of excitement this time of year. Everybody except Nebraska and a couple other teams are, you know, 0-0. All the preseason hype and expectations, everybody's at their ceiling right now. So, and then it starts changing as we go week by week. So really just excited to see everything. Like, excited to see Rich Gangarello offense. Excited to see what Will Levis looks like year two at Kentucky. Excited to see like Deion Walker. Like, we've heard all about Deion Walker. We really haven't got to see him play, see what he looks like, see what kind of this new makeshift secondary looks like. So a lot of unknowns here. Excited to see what Barrion Brown could do with the ball in his hands. Get to see Dane Key after hearing about him really February started spring practice. I mean, it's been the Dane Key show for 6 months now. You know, so we finally get to see him playing a real game. So there's a lot to be excited about here, and we'll find out a lot Saturday night at 7.
It's going to be a great time. We're going to preview the game, make some predictions for the Wildcats, let you know some more about the Miami Redhawks from the MAC. But first, we should touch on the news from early on in the week. As expected, Chris Rodriguez not going to play on Saturday. Jordan Wright among those absences as well. Kentucky picked 17 captains, and three of them are probably out in game one with Kenneth Horsey banged up from a preseason injury. We got a lot of word salad from Mark Stoops on Monday, and I'm just curious, what do you make of the hemming and hawing that we received after we thought we'd get some clarity from the head football coach?
Yeah, I'm not really surprised. I kind of thought that's what we would get. Because it seems to be a delicate situation, whatever they're dealing with here. There's a lot of people involved, it seems like, with the university. It's not just a football decision. I don't think Mark Stoops is making the call on the suspensions here.
Yeah. That was my biggest takeaway. He was really that you called it a suspension. Like there was a lot of,
he fumbled over his words in there. If I was the PR coach over at UK, I would have told him you need to have a plan statement for what you're going to say about it before you get asked. So you don't get caught off guard with a question. You get out the message how you want to get it out. Right. Like you don't get asked the question. You just go ahead and put it out there early. You know what I'm saying? Instead of waiting to be asked about it.
Instead of, I knew y'all were going to ask me about this. It's like, well, duh. Yeah. You know,
that was the one surprise I would have, that he didn't just go ahead and get that out of the way.
Well, and if you have a carefully crafted statement too, then you can use precise words to backpedal and say, hey, it's out of my hands. I've got bosses. He eventually kind of, you know, fumbled his way around it. But I think he wants to make it clear that if he could, he would have these guys playing, but it's out of his hands. He cannot say what the matter is either. It's if you want to get into the legalese of it, there's laws in place to protect student records. FERPA, it's the HIPAA of academic records, if you will. It's the same reason why we never heard anything about the frat party fight last year, because that was a matter being handled by the student code of conduct, and it was going to remain quiet. Their absences were going to be nothing less than just a summertime absence until police pressed charges right before the season kicked off. So that's why we're not getting anything. Now it's just a matter of, well, we're going to find out when we find out, and it probably won't be until we get a new depth chart where things might look a little different. And like it, I wouldn't be surprised if the depth chart went unchanged and then they just showed up on a game day dressed in full uniform. Like at this point, nothing surprises me, but except if Mark Stoops were to somehow just say they're going to be at X amount of games and that's when we're getting back. I don't think that's going to happen. We'll just find out one day that it's a go time for some of Kentucky's most valuable players.
We're playing the waiting game here. We'll revisit this on Monday. I just don't know what more to say than that. Like, it seems like a complicated issue. So Chris Rodriguez is not going to play.
Yep.
Jordan Wright's not playing on Saturday. I'm going by Matt Jones's reporting, which has seemed pretty accurate so far. We can expect Jordan Wright back next week. And then Chris Rodriguez is either going to be back for Northern Illinois game on September 24th or the Ole Miss game on October 1st. And that's kind of where we're at right now. One thing Mark did was he kind of alluded to like multiple players being suspended, but then he said one will come back. I think it's Wright and Rodriguez, at least players of note that would be playing in a game. So, and Wright's going to be back next week, we think. So I think it's really just it's Chris after this week, but yeah, you're just playing the waiting game. I don't really, I mean, I know it's frustrating to people, but like they can't play this week. So
yeah,
it just is what it is. And then we got to move on. But I do believe like once we get through this, Nick, it's just people aren't going to.
Yeah.
Like Jordan Wright and Chris Rodriguez are going to have to answer this at draft time. Like when they have their interviews, mm-hmm. when they go to the combine and all that, or when they're at the Senior Bowl. But other than that, I think everybody will move on after this. It's just getting through this little patch here. And that first patch is dealing with a Miami, Ohio team that, Nick, when you look at them, the offense, they have some stuff to scare you on offense, but defense, they're totally retooling. And it feels like on that end, it's a good matchup for a Kentucky offense that has a lot of new parts.
No, you're certainly right. And just to hit it a little bit more, because we did speak with Kavase Smoke yesterday. He got the nod as running back one, which could come to surprise as many for many of us who saw him maybe fourth or fifth in the pecking order. Yesterday, he was asked about this opportunity, and I don't know the right way to put it, but he seemed a little put off that people were surprised that he's going to be running back number one. Like that the coaches recognized that he made a he had to make a conscious effort to change his habits, right? Like that much was clear to everyone from the outside, but I don't think that's the case for Smoke. So there's kind of a, I don't know, he's kind of a little like, it was very hard to describe, but he was not very happy with a lot of the questions. He's just ready to, you know, this is business as usual for him. Right. So I'm curious if we're going to see a pissed off Smoke play well. Like I just don't know what we're going to get from this Kavassier Smoke, because he's been a boom or bust back, and it's been a lot less boom and a lot more bust the last 2 years.
Here's the thing with Smoke. Like, you're just, he's not an efficiency back. Like, he's just not, you're not going to get what you get from Rodriguez. He's not going to get you in a lot of second and fives, second and fours, second and threes. You're going to have some second and eights. For him to be successful, you have to have explosive plays. And we've seen a lot of really good backs in college fit his type of profile, but they can produce chunk plays. With Smoke, that's just disappeared over the last 2 years, Nick. And as a redshirt freshman in 2019, he showed some real pop as an explosive runner with 7 rushes of 20-plus yards on 101 attempts. Over the last 2 years, he's gotten 128 total attempts and just has 3 rushes of 20-plus yards. Like, that's all it is with Smoke. It's that, like, he's got to provide pop. If he can't provide you these chunk runs, you got to find somebody more efficient in there or somebody that can provide the chunk runs. I think the combination, Ramon Jefferson is appealing because he did both at Sam Houston State. He had a success rate over 50%. He had an explosive run rate over 20%. Like, that is really, really good. So, you know, those numbers are going to dip, obviously, at the SEC level, but he can just provide a little more there potentially. So that's why he was intriguing to me. And so that's where, that's how you got to kind of manage that. Smoke has had good moments, right? We've seen him. He played good against LSU last year. I thought the best game of his career, I think, happened last year against South Carolina. You know, we remember the touchdown run early. I thought he was really patient, ran behind his pads. And he gave Kentucky some good looks when Chris was dealing with fumble issues. And he had a run late to kind of ice the game or set up the game to be iced by Chris Rodriguez at the end, where it was like a 3rd and 4. He did a good job hiding behind his blocks, and he dove forward for a first down in a big spot. So we've seen good moments from him. It's just the consistency and the durability we haven't seen. But he's getting the first crack here, and I think it's an ode to him by the coaching staff for sticking around and sounding like he's had a good fall camp. He's been available all of camp.
Yep.
But I think it's going to be a short leash. I mean, there's other guys they got in that room, and they have to find the hot hand and ride the hot hand. And I think that's what Scangarello is looking for. And if you follow the 49ers at all, that's kind of their MO. They just – they plug a guy in. There could be a leading rusher 1 week that's not a leading rusher the next week. It's just – they just kind of – they're very flexible in that regard, and I think that you're going to see a situation with Kentucky like that because they've got 3 backs right now when you look at Jefferson, Smoke, and not Lavelle Wright, and Jatah McClain that they feel like they can play winning football with. And so we'll just have to see how it all shakes out, and it starts Saturday.
The thing, too, about having a short lease is it's not like a quarterback situation where – we've got a fun one brewing up in Michigan, but you can have a quick hook with backs.
No doubt.
Yeah, you can have a quick – I mean, they rotate regularly. This is nothing new. So going to be fun to watch, as you mentioned off the top, what the offense looks like, how much more outside zone are we going to get. You know, there's a lot of mystery out there. There's some mystery with the offensive line. There's going to be a lot of tight ends. We're chomping at the bit to see what a Rich Scangarello offense looks like. So we'll get our first taste on Saturday, even though they will keep it relatively vanilla. That's how this works. But that's just, like I said, that's how this works. They're going to keep it vanilla, but they should still be able to produce some points. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, let's take a closer look at what the Miami Redhawks do and what they do well. There was a lot of transfer portal turnover. This is, you know, this is the kind of place where you expect a lot of portal turnover in the MAC. They did go to a bowl game. They won the Frisco Bowl over North Texas, finished 2nd in their division in the MAC, and picked to finish 1st this year with Blaine Gabbert's little bro playing quarterback for the Redhawks. What more can you tell us about him, Luckett?
Yeah, I think first things first, like Miami, Ohio, their biggest strength last year was their defense. They ranked in the top 50 nationally in points per drive allowed. They ranked top 10 nationally in tackles for loss. It was a big havoc defense. And a lot of that havoc production is gone. Ivan Pace Jr. had like 130 tackles and 13 tackles for loss as a Mike linebacker. He's up at Cincinnati this year. Cameron Butler is a player from Northern Kentucky. I believe led them with like 14 tackles for loss. He's at Virginia right now. Lonnie Phelps is a kid from Cincinnati, led the team in sacks last year. He's playing for Kansas right now. And then you add in some older players they lost in the secondary, and it's just a lot to replace. And it's not only that, Nick. They had a co-coordinator situation, a couple guys that had been there for a while. Those two guys left. They're at Ohio this year calling the defense. So Bill Brechin, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. He's been on staff at Miami for a long time, but this is going to be his first game calling plays as a defensive coordinator on Saturday. So you have to thank Advantage Rich Gangarello here in just the matchup angle. You look at Miami, Ohio, they have some experience in the defensive line, but it's not like it's nothing for you to really get scared of. Linebacker is probably their two most productive players are at linebacker and Ryan McWood and Matthew Salopek. The latter had like 115 tackles last year. He's a tackling machine. But in the secondary, they're totally retooling. They've got a couple transfers they're throwing into the mix there. But they've got a lot of the – it's like a 4-2-5 defense. Three of the five players are going to be new. And the two starters are redshirt sophomores who have played a little bit but not a lot. And so when you match that up against an offense, and maybe like this is a good matchup, I guess, for a young offense, right, for young receivers mm-hmm. to go against for a defensive line. And Miami is, at least last year, we'll see if anything changes under this new play caller, but you have to think it won't. They kind of have a system. They're going to take chances. They're going to send blitzes. They want to create negative plays, so that should open opportunities for chunk plays. Last year against their three group of five FCS opponents, Will Levis had three pretty good games. Chattanooga got a little rocky, but he made some big throws, and he threw all over ULM. He threw all over New Mexico State. Miami, Ohio is better than those teams, but I think you're going to see potentially a huge game from Kentucky's quarterback. I would expect a big, big number put up by Levis on offense. And really the real interesting matchup is probably on the other side of the ball, if you want to touch on.
Well, just quickly, though, I think that the big thing, like you mentioned, a lot of turnover in the secondary, there's going to be some busted coverages and some big plays. Right. Like that.
Yeah, you would have to think.
Especially with big playmakers like Berrion Brown, you know, as much as we talk about the new guys too, Tavion Robinson, he's going to get a lot of targets.
Well, yeah, I think this is important. Like Tavion has, like, he can take 170 yards. Like, he has that ability. He can be a vertical weapon. Like, he's not just 15 yards and in. Right. Yeah. It's not just, you're just not. Like anything above a dig, you're not getting from. Like he can make some vertical plays in this passing game. And that's what really I'm excited to see. I think he's getting lost in the shuffle a little bit here as the season gets closer, just because we're all excited about Danke and Berrion Brown, right? And you forget about this guy's probably like, he's got a great chance to be like a third round draft pick at receiver. Like he's really good and he's finally got a quarterback in a scheme that's going to be tailor made to his skill set. Like I think for him, it's going to be exciting to see how they, you know, create touches for him. And he's going to be kind of the go-to guy, I think, when the offense maybe labors a little bit.
Well, and that was the point when we were speaking with him yesterday. He knows what he can do and do well. And he also knows that he's not Wandale Robinson, but he doesn't want to be Wandale Robinson. Like there's we're going to get those comps that, I mean, they got the same last name for crying out loud. They're playing the same position. They're both Power 5 transfers. It's very simple, very simple for us to make those easy, you know, and that's how we like, whenever we talk basketball too, like a new recruit, you want to compare him to some other Calipari recruit, because that's just what it's easy for our brains to consume. But Robinson's a different player. Like you said, he's more vertical than Wandale. He's not going to get as many targets, but he can produce as many big plays as Mr. Robinson, as the previous Mr. Robinson.
And he catches everything. His drop pass rate was one of the best in the country last year. This is a guy who's going to catch everything they throw to him. So that's exciting as well. And that's going to lead, I think, Levis to even be more comfortable with him. So tight ends and the young receivers have kind of got all the storm, but I'm very interested to see him, especially against a new look secondary like this. And I think people are going to see what right away. Like, this is not necessarily, the way I think they're going to play Kentucky is not the way you want to play this team, because they're going to take chances and stunt. But if Kentucky's going to be able to get in 12 personnel, keep a tight end or two in the block, absorb some big pressures, then they're going to be able to hit big plays with Levis at quarterback. So I project that to happen, but you need to see it to happen first with the offensive line. That's where that question comes in.
And then the other part is Levis's accuracy downfield too. There was one big thing that he needed to work on offseason, it was that.
Footwork. And it's all tied to footwork, right? Like, he's talked about that. That's what you want to see, because I think that's been a huge point for him. He knows he's got to improve that. And mm-hmm. So we'll see how it shakes out.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Could end up being a big day for the offense, despite all of the uncertainties. When we go to the other side of the ball, it looks like Miami's a team that is going to want to air it out a lot and should test this secondary. A secondary that needs it. They need a good test. And that's what Mark Stoops, he's been bullish on the improvements from the secondary. But he also wants them to go out and earn it on day one. Doesn't want anything to be given to him. And they're going to be challenged.
Yeah. Dig into Miami, Ohio, they had a very close to 50-50 run-pass split, and they probably should have leaned a lot more into the pass last year. Their passing game was pretty good. Now, the only thing is not super efficient. Like, Gabbert had a completion rate at, 58-59%. I mean, he's hovering around that for his career. But most of that is due is they just take big swings. I mean, they're looking for big plays. They're big play hunters on offense. So, this is a team, they're okay with – if they play a 12-possession game, they're probably cool with 2-3 and outs if it means they're hitting a bunch of plays over your head. So they are hunting for that. It's going to be a very RPO-heavy offense with looking for big plays over the top. They'll throw it over the middle. They trust Gabbert to make good plays. And their offensive line has been solid, specifically in pass protection. And it's really experienced. I think combined they have 60-plus starts returning on the offensive line.
That's decent.
Yeah, so they're going to be able to challenge Kentucky with their offensive line. So it's really seeing the secondary against this receiver core. This receiver core is good, Nick. Like, Mac Hippenhammer is a Penn State transfer. He's a super senior. He'll be in an NFL camp in 9 months. He's a good player. He's a little bit smaller, but he's got vertical speed and he can get behind the defense. Miles Marshall was a transfer from Indiana. They got in your prototypical 6'4" boundary X receiver. He's made plays in his career at Indiana. He's going to be able to make plays. He's a solid receiver. They've got a slot receiver, Jalen Walker, who's, I think, another super senior who's played a ton of football. And so, Gabbard's got – he lost his best weapon, Jack Sorensen. But they've got a lot of guys there waiting in the wings. And there's weapons for him to use. On the ground, they've got a lot of running backs. They've got good depth there, but they're not going to scare you with their running attack. It's more so to just keep it balanced. But the passing game is really it's worrisome for Kentucky. Specifically, you spoke busted coverages on the other end. You got to worry about that on Kentucky for their end. Yeah. The way Kentucky wants to play in the heavy zone, and you have Yusuf Corker's not there anymore on the back.
Right. And that was the point I wanted to make, was Jalen Geiger's got experience. A new position.
I had little worries with Corker. I mean, 9 times out of 10, they were going to be in the right spot because he was going to make sure. If he didn't, he was going to fight somebody on the field. I mean, we saw him and DeAndre Square throw people around last year. Square's still there. He's going to get the front seven aligned. And I don't have any issues. I know they're going to be ready and in the right spots. But in that secondary, you have to, is Geiger, can he be that guy? Mm-hmm. Asian's seen everything. You got to bank on those two veterans at safety. making sure everybody's where they need to be. But that, like, that's a concern, I think, to me.
The one thing, though, like, it is Mark Stoops' defense, what they always do best is take away the big play. So, you know, that's going to be a point of emphasis going into this week. Where Absolutely. I really – where I worry about it is from a gambling standpoint, right? Because that number's down to 16.
Yeah.
And I love it. We mentioned it on the football podcast, but, like, that's a seven-point difference in the SP Plus projection.
Yeah.
That's, like, a play that I would make even if it wasn't Kentucky. But what I worry about is Miami's not going to start – throwing when Jordan Lovett gets in the game and he's, you know, late in the second half and he's just playing overly aggressive and they catch him once. You know,
we've like seen that. When Mark Stoops put the twos in, they give up those touchdowns. Like, yeah,
I know. That's where I really worry about the backdoor cover.
Situation. Well, that's why, if you're asking Adam, what's your angle here? That's why individual team totals are nice. Like I'm looking at that Kentucky team total. The projected score is 35-19 with how the spread is right now, around 16 and a total of 54. That Kentucky team total is looking juicy to me. You just look at Miami, Ohio, like they're gonna get Kentucky in some negative plays and whatnot, but Kentucky's gonna be able to hit big plays on them. So that should lead to a big night. And so I'm thinking even if Kentucky starts slow, I could really see them kind of pile it on later in the game, especially as they start to wear them out a little bit. But they are going to be challenged at certain points, and you know. But it's interesting because you just haven't seen it. You think they're going to be good, but you need to see it. And so that's the interesting matchup. It's kind of a strength on strength with Miami's Ohio and Kentucky's defense. But you really the separator in this game really needs to be Kentucky's offense against Miami Ohio's defense. Yeah. That's where the large margin seems like on paper to me. But Kentucky's very young at certain spots, so you need to see them. Like, how does Jagger Burton and David Wohlabaugh Jr. hold up together at left guard?
Left tackle.
Can Jeremy Flax not be a turnstile on pass protection?
Right, right.
All everything that goes with that. Can they get any – I know they're going to get chunk plays on the ground Saturday. Like, they're going to bust a wide zone for 35 yards. Can they get efficiency? Can the back find something? Can they just make the simple cutback to give them 6 yards on a second and eight? Stuff like that to stay ahead of the chains to extend drives, because that efficiency last year was why UK was so good, third down conversion rate and red zone touchdown rate. It's because they had manageable situations to deal with. It was a lot of third and shorts. They were staying ahead of chains in the red zone, so it was a lot of third and goals from the two. You know,
right.
So that's one thing to watch for. If Kentucky loses that efficiency, they really need that big play pop to pick them up. And this would be a great game. This is going to be a great barometer for that, because there's a lot of signs there saying Miami is very susceptible to the big play with how they're going to take chances and with all the new faces they have in the secondary. It should lead to some explosive plays for Kentucky.
Speaking of explosive, we got to get to an explosive segment brought to our friends at MyBookie. We're talking totals, a couple other different ways to play. You can't play in the state of Kentucky, though, unless you're playing with MyBookie. Promo code KSR is how you're going to get a bonus this fall. It's quick and easy. $250 deposit puts $500 in your account. That's right. They're going to double your initial deposit up to $200. And $50 this fall when you play with MyBookie. Whether you're playing college football this weekend, we've got 16 games on Thursday. 9 of them are going to be on TV. There's some really tempting, tantalizing games on Friday and a full slate Saturday. We also got games Sunday and Monday. And you know what? You can roll that into the Bills Rams NFL kickoff a week from Thursday. You can play it all with our friends at MyBookie. Just put in the promo code KSR when you sign up. You'll claim a bonus. They'll double your deposit up to $250. Going to add more excitement to the game and sports you love this fall. You can bet on team win totals. You can predict the Super Bowl winner. Use the MyBookie prop builder and secure the bag with MyBookie. Look at you brought
all
up
the basketball Ben. Hey, all the basketball Bennies come at me for this take, but like this is my favorite weekend of the year. College football from Thursday through Monday night. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you get like legit slates too. Like after this week, the Thursday and Friday, they usually stink, like college wise. It's not very great.
Mm-hmm.
But you get it all weekend here.
Yeah,
and you get the Sunday night Labor Day Eve game is just chef's kiss with LSU Florida State. It is the perfect matchup. It's the perfect matchup. And then you get
spend the day at the pool. You're a little sunburned. You've had, you know, some beers, and then you get you get brought back to life once you see the Superdome full of crazy Tiger fans.
It's perfect. Put the TV on the patio. Go out and get you a cigar. Get some brown water.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe order pizza or whatever food you want, or cook some steaks on the grill. I mean, it's this is it. This is it. The one bad thing about living in Kentucky is we don't get the full. Like my father-in-law in Florida, he gets to watch games on his patio in like late November, early December.
Right, right.
We don't get to do that. So like we have to take advantage early. This is a prime time window here. Sunday night, you get LSU Florida State. It's just going to be beautiful, probably sloppy football. And with my bookie, pick three is here. We'll be back on Thursday with Mr. Drew Franklin joining us. Combined 4-2 last week. So a good first weekend, week zero, and we're I think I have my picks already locked in there, Nick. But I know you're still crunching the numbers.
I've got too many, so getting it down.
I've got a lot of picks, but I got three. I feel pretty good
about. Good. Okay. We'll have those for you on Thursday because my favorite pick of the weekend is Thursday night. I'm just we're hammering Purdue, hammer down, boiler up. But I want to get your thoughts on this Saturday's game. I've created my own over-unders, and I'm also using one of the over-unders. You touched on it earlier, the Kentucky team total, 34.5 points.
Yeah, give me that over.
Okay, all right. I love the confidence there, Luckett. I felt like this was going to be a 40-point game despite the uncertainties with the offense, but –
it's just when you dig into it, it's just a really good matchup for Kentucky because of all the turnover Miami's dealing with. And the now some projection is going into this, the way I think they're going to play. But it's a real – it just sets up really well. I think Will Levis is going to have a big day. And Will Levis' big day equals points on the scoreboard.
Well, and that gets me to the number. I was struggling on where would be a good line to draw because – he did have a huge game in that opener for, I think it was like I actually haven't pulled up right now, 367 yards in the opener, but he did only eclipse 300 one more time the rest of the year. New Mexico State, he had 419. Over under passing yards, 295, Luckett.
Over. I think it's like he could get to 350 pretty easily.
Wow. Go ahead. Folks, pour this podcast in a cup and take a big swig of it right now. Just drinking all the offense.
It's gonna be very much a like if you believe in Will Levis, you're gonna be like, see what he did. And then if you're fade Will Levis, you're gonna be like, well, he's done this. Like, let's see him do it against the SEC team because then they'll pull up the SEC stat.
Right, right.
But that's exactly. I think we're gonna see a big game from number seven.
Okay.
So all right. I'm for Kentucky to get to the points. I think it's got to have Levis got to throw the ball around the yard a little bit. So I think we'll see that.
Well, that's where the next three numbers I have are going to get a little bit more interesting. Tavion Robinson over under 5.5 receptions.
Over. Might get there in the first half.
Where would you set the line that would be interesting? What, seven and a half?
Seven. So just hard seven.
Hmm.
Seven feels like the number here.
Okay. Adam Luckett is going to go ahead and predict seven receptions for Tavion Robinson, folks. You heard it here. Heard it here
seven
first.
Seven for 98 and a touchdown.
This is great. I would just
love. Why do you even watch the game? You just listen to me and then you just leave. It's like a Vicky Valancourt off Waterboy. Well, that's an interesting score prediction. How did you come up with that? It's not a prediction. That's what it's going to be.
Oh, well, here's one that I do. I'm not sure what to think. Tight end receptions, 5.5.
Yeah.
5.5. Will we go over?
Well, a lot of this is just, I just think they're going to throw the ball a lot. And so I'm going to hit. Okay. Like if the, yeah, Yeah, I'm going to say over.
Okay. Okay. I just, we're hitting a lot of overs today. This is going to be a fun
Saturday at the Curve. I don't like this because I love a good under bet. I love sweating me out an under. I'm thinking of just, I don't even care, but like the Rutgers Boston College one is in the 40s. Like, why not sweat that out at noon? Why not sweat out that under? I love me a good, especially when the cold weather football gets in. Those are my favorite bets of the year. That Big Ten under 44 and 38 degree weather with 10 mile an hour winds.
Oh man. Well, this one I am going under 100 yard rushers. Half. I don't know if Kentucky's gonna have a 100 yard rusher.
Yeah, on Saturday. I'm under there with you. I think they could have a solid day on the ground, but I think it's split carries, so you don't see that.
Yeah. I think
Nick, I got one. This could
Once
be a little
there's a couple big plays, you know.
Highest rush of the game comes from a wide receiver. Biggest rush play. Like either a Barry Brown or Tavian Robinson.
No, I think they're gonna pad the stats as a push pass. So I'm gonna say no.
Okay.
I'm gonna say the longest run comes from a running back.
Yeah.
Because the push pass is a great way to pad stats and efficiency and all that stuff. I like those.
Yeah, I just think with some of that wide zone stuff, they could boot a little reverse off of it once they get them flowing. And then you get either Barron or Tavian out on the edge against this team. It could be trouble for the other side.
One more, because we know Miami is going to be passing a decent amount. And this is a point of emphasis for the Kentucky defense. Sacks. Kentucky defense sacks 3.5. Over or under?
Under. I just think this offensive line is solid and Gabbard does a pretty good job of getting the ball out. He didn't take a lot of sacks last year. So I think he's going to – they know they've been reading KentuckySportsRadio.com. They know what kind of camp Kentucky's defensive line has had. They're going to make sure they get it out. So no sacks. The thing I'm big on is, like, I think we're going to see some ball production. I think we're going to see interceptions and pass breakups. I think we're going to see Kentucky get their hands on the ball. When Gabbert does throw it, but I think he's going to get rid of it. So I would say under 3.5 sacks. I would even go under 3.
So are you satisfied though if they only have 2? Right, like is it still like a fine day if they're just getting like, in passing lanes sort of deal?
What's the pressure rate? How many QB hurries are they getting? Are they influencing the pocket? All that.
Well, look, we're gonna take a brief break. When we come back. NFL cuts were over the week, and maybe we'll touch on a little college football in general. Don't go anywhere. We are back and better than ever, and Adam Luckett has you covered this Saturday. He's already told you what's going to happen. Vicky Valancourt just knows what the hell she's talking about. So, Luckett, we also need some more numbers, too, to be the best educated Kentucky football fans possible. What you got for us?
Yeah, I've got some nuggets here on Miami, Ohio, Nick. Under Chuck Martin, it's his ninth year. They've done a lot of good things. They've won a MAC title. They were a win on Thanksgiving weekend last year away from playing for another MAC title. They're one of the favorites to win the MAC this year. But when they've played Power 5 teams, it hasn't gone too well. Now, I threw Cincinnati into this because they play Cincinnati every year. That's a rivalry. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati might as well be a Power 5 team. Right. They will be here soon. Under Martin, they are 0-16 against Power 5 teams in Cincinnati. 0-16 straight up. They are 8-8 against the spread, but that number is just 1-4 against the spread against ranked teams. They've failed to cover 4 games in a row against ranked teams. Kentucky hasn't been great in season openers, 1-6 against the spread in the last 7 under Stoops, but in a recent form, they're 6-3-1 ATS in their last 10 ball games. So if you're looking for reasons to make a play on Saturday or not, maybe throw that into your algorithm. Do you remember? So just keep that, just chew on that for a little bit.
I'm chewing.
Remember the Dow twins, class of 2015, committed to Kentucky, or I don't know if they were committed or they flipped to Michigan State.
Were they from St. Edward too?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember those guys.
Their little brother also went to Michigan State, but he just transferred to Miami, Ohio. He could be a starting safety on Saturday for the Redhawks.
Oh, that's a fun fact. Michael Dow.
So that's a blast from the past.
I also saw that Marty Moore's a kid.
I'm getting Mason. To that next.
Yeah.
A lot of Kentucky natives on this Miami-Ohio team. There's a few that could be that are going to be starting. Eli Blakely, it's a redshirt freshman out of Manual. He's contending for one of those safety spots there with Dow. Sam Vaughn, a redshirt junior tackle out of Lexington Catholic, started every game for them last year. He's going to be starting. Ben Jackson's another redshirt junior on the offensive line. He's out of George Rogers Clark. He's kind of their third tackle, swing tackle. He will play. So he's going to be in the rotation. Jack Coldiron is their starting tight end, redshirt junior out of Covington Catholic. So they recruit the state of Kentucky a lot. Mason Moore is a true freshman defensive back on the team. Joseph Humphreys was a quarterback at Davis County last year, Nick.
Oh, people love that kid.
Yeah, posted all kinds of ridiculous numbers. Had 65 mm-hmm. total touchdowns, took his team all the way, I believe, to the quarterfinals of the state playoffs where they lost to the reigning state champions, Louisville St. X Tigers. But he's their quarterback, and he might emerge as their backup at one point this season. And then, obviously, more kids. So recruit the Bluegrass State a lot. So you're going to see some familiar faces. I believe Mark Story has a story up on on Marty Moore and his son, and about how Marty's not cheering for Kentucky this week.
Mark Story having a story is kind of
yeah. And the pun makes itself.
He did speak to Marty Moore, who's never thought he'd wear red at Kroger Field, but hey.
And then my last one here, they have a Van Wilder. Ryan McWood is a seventh-year senior linebacker. So seventh year in college. He's had a couple injuries plus COVID year. He's played a lot of football. He was in the same class as Luke Fortner. Like if Luke would have had an injury, came back, this would have been a seventh year. So let's pull up Kentucky's recruiting and read off some of the players that were in Ryan McWood's recruiting class. So
this would have been 2017?
I believe – no, 2016.
2016? Yeesh. Yeah.
So, Landon Young, Drake Jackson, Cash Daniel. Let's see here. Let's see. Gunnar Hoke.
Benny
Snell. Benny Snell's recruiting class.
Benny Snell's entering his third year in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. T.J. Carter, that Boogie Watson. Those were some of the guys here. Grant McInnes was an SEC punter, felt like for a decade at Kentucky, Missouri, and he's now out of eligibility. But guy Ryan McWood is still holding it down up there in Oxford, and I'm sure he's had a good time in college. Miami, Ohio's so – Nick, you can speak to their campus. It seems like a pretty fun school.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big Greek campus as well, very old school. They also have a deal where even if you aren't a Greek student, they even have like houses that like this house is the volleyball house, this house, and they kind of pass them down through, you know, whether you're an organization or you're in a different athletic club. Like it's very old school in that regard where it's like, this is the way things work, and we're just going to keep doing them. They have their big green beer day. They have their uptown area. One time I partied there, Gordon Hayward randomly showed up when he was with the Celtics, fresh out of he was with the Jazz at the time. He was fresh out of Butler. It's a big party place.
Something about those South and Southeastern Ohio schools, like Miami, Ohio. Dayton, everybody that goes there loves them and says they're so much fun to go to school there. It's kind of like, you know, you get the small college town feel, but it's not like none of them are like super far from Cincinnati, right? Like you can get to the big city and all those in a half hour. Big city Cincinnati, but
right. But you can have the big city amenities, you know, you can take a day or a weekend or whatever to go party there. It's also one of those too where they have a like so there's a strong like I have a feeling we'll get a decent amount of Miami fans traveling like they have a strong football fan base just like Dayton has a really strong basketball fan base, you know, like
it's the most storied program in the MAC. They have won the most MAC titles, they have the most wins, they have the most conference wins, they have the most bowl wins. Like it is the historically it is the program in the MAC.
And history could be made on Saturday, where I know we're making a bigger deal about breaking the Bear Bryant win mark, but just to tie it, it's still Mark Stoops isn't one to self-reflect on it. But if you do look back on Like, it is pretty nuts that we're in the midst of watching a dude just break Bear Bryant records, you know? Like, growing up at the time that we did, we saw some successful Kentucky football runs, but that's – you just thought that that was the peak, right? You thought 7 wins was the peak. Maybe you get ranked for a little while. Maybe you go to a hum-ho bowl game. But now it's – hell, we had our entire 12-person KSR crew pick – the season, and nobody picked worse than 9 wins. I mean, it is a fun time to be a Kentucky football fan, and I hope everybody is enjoying it, is reveling in it, because it does not this is very rare for Kentucky football fans.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Stoops, I think, deserves every recognition, honor, whatever you want to give him. He's been like, this is like, if he stays here, it's gonna be his program, right? Like Frank Beamer is at Virginia Tech. And like others are like that, like Mike Gundy will be at Oklahoma State. But I think it's confirmation too, just for people like us, there was a, you know, not a huge fraction, but a significant one that believed that it could happen, that followed college football closely and saw other programs have success and believed Kentucky could do it. Like they had the resources to do it. The university, finally committed. I mean, we can talk about that in the past, how they, you know, things. I'm not going to get into that here, but they committed, and you got a coach, and you invested in him, and you're seeing what's happening. It can happen here. It can happen here. Like, I don't think this has to be a flash in the pan. It can happen here for a long time. You know, you have to make smart, good hires, just like anybody else. You can't overreact to things. You have to see the long game, but it can happen here. And like, we're entering a run where Kentucky set up, they built their roster building has been good enough, Nick, where if they just hit at quarterback and if they have a difference maker at quarterback, they can contend or win in the SEC's division as long as the team in their division is not a national championship caliber team. And if Georgia takes a step back, potentially that can happen, you know. And I think you're entering a year that you're hoping Will Levis is that, and you're hoping Georgia takes a little bit of a step back. Kentucky can be they can have seasons ranked in the top 25, and it doesn't have to be one every 25 years. They can do that consistently throughout a decade. And I think you're just seeing that play out, and it's you know, my brother told me this the other day when all the Stoops stuff was going on, and like he was like, you were being a Kentucky football fan before being a Kentucky football fan was cool. Now it's cool to be a Kentucky football fan, and that's pretty awesome.
Oh man, I'm excited to get things kicked off this weekend. You know, we're gonna have a ton of games to watch elsewhere, but the real show's at Kroger Field, right? You know,
yeah.
I'll turn on College Football Final when we get home about 2 a.m. and get my recaps of, you know, Oregon and Georgia or whatever. You know, like we'll be able to play catch up elsewhere. But the real show is Saturday night at the Crow.
Who is going to make us laugh while we're in the press box or on the drive home? Like what team falls in their face? That's really what I'm looking forward to the most. Hopefully it's not Kentucky.
I really want it to be Louisville. I mean,
yeah. Is like Live Dog Dino? Live Dog Dino?
I mean, that would be a joy. Shane Beamer. That would be a lot of fun too.
Vegas is, I just keep telling people this. Vegas is daring you to take, just they're just wanting you to take Louisville. Just take Louisville. It's cheap price on the road. They've smothered Syracuse every matchup, but when you dig into it, Nick, this is Syracuse's first time hosting Louisville since 2018. They have played 3 games in a row at Cardinal Stadium in that series.
That's bizarre.
It's because of the COVID thing. ACC they got rid of divisions that 1 year, added Notre Dame, and they didn't alternate schedules after that, so it kind of, you know, it got wonky. There, Syracuse gets them in the dome. They get them early. You dig into Syracuse, they've got a solid offensive line. They got an offensive coordinator from Virginia. Louisville had no idea how to defend them last year. You know, and their defense, they run that 3-3-5 defense that can be a pain in the ass to deal with. And they're, you know, they're healthy. Right. So that is the one I obviously I'm looking at. I think Georgia, like, what is South Carolina? They're a lot like Kentucky. They have a lot of new parts on offense. And like, I just think you have more faith in Kentucky's offensive coordinator than what South Carolina has. So that one is interesting. And there's always going to be one that comes out of nowhere that surprises us. So I'm excited to see what that is.
Looking forward to it, man. It's going to be an awesome weekend. Play along with us by using MyBookie promo code KSR. Double your deposit up to $250 when you play. We appreciate y'all tuning in at 11 personnel. We'll be back every single Wednesday. Wednesday is our new day throughout Kentucky football season. We'll be looking ahead to the next opponent. The KSR football podcast will be a Monday. You can hear Freddie on Sundays. And then a little pick three, sharing some picks on your Thursday afternoon. So we'll have it all on Apple Podcasts, also on YouTube, all over the place where you can find us. Make sure you're subscribed. And can't wait to see y'all Saturday. Feels good to have football back. We're all the way back.
Yeah, we're all the way back. I cannot wait. Enjoy this weekend, everybody. It's going to be a fun one.
Go Cats and go Kroger.